As I indicated in my capsule summary of G.E. Moore, Moore did not want to be tied down to the notion that I experience only a sense data that is internal to me. That is, he did not want to hold that the act of perceiving is in contact with a mental image that somehow represents the object out there. Because as long as he brings the sense data into the subject as a mental image that's part of me subjectively, we'll never be able to compare it to the objects outside the mind. We'll never get past the egocentric predicament. According to Moore, and I'll quote him, there is therefore no question of how we are to get outside the circle of our own ideas and sensations. Merely to have a sensation is already to be outside that circle. It is to know something which is as truly and really not a part of my experience as anything which I can ever know. And so consciousness escapes the clutches of idealism by maintaining that consciousness is in contact with something outside of the subject. And therefore, what I'm aware of in consciousness cannot be a construct of my own thinking. It has a reality apart from my awareness of it. That is to say, very simply, those sense data of which I'm aware are outside of me, not inside of me. And those sense data are independent of my thinking. I don't construct sense data. I encounter sense data outside myself. Of course, that's what realism is. But now we're trying to account for what consciousness is, having trouble. And now we want to make sense of what is the object of consciousness, the sense data. If you're going to get past the egocentric predicament, you have to maintain, as Moore did, well, in fact, when I have a sensation, I'm already outside myself. Everything that exists is like that. It's independent of our thoughts. And the universe contains an immense variety of different kinds of entities, none of which are constructed by my mind, all of which are directly experienced. And what I'm directly experiencing are sense data. And this is what common sense affirms. A world of things that are sensed that's outside the mind itself. Let me just give you an example of how enthusiastically this kind of outlook was endorsed. This is a quotation from Bertrand Russell. Russell says, G.E. Moore took the lead in rebellion, and I followed with a sense of emancipation. Bradley had argued that everything common sense believes in is merely appearance. We reverted to the opposite extreme and thought that everything is real that common sense, uninfluenced by philosophy or theology, supposes real. With a sense of escaping from prison, we allowed ourselves to think that grass is green, that the sun and stars would exist if no one was aware of them, and that mathematics would be quite true and not merely a stage in the dialectic. That is emancipating, right? What's the world like? You say, the grass is green. Isn't that commonsensical? I am having an experience of something which is independent of me. So the sense data are outside the mind, not dependent upon the mind. Well, the problem is in analyzing this doctrine of sense data. Because normally, when I consider my experiences, I'm not experiencing just sense data. I gave you an example a moment ago of a brown dog. And I talked about the brownness of the dog. But you know what? I don't experience brownness. I mean, I might if I went into a room that had a color swatch so big that nothing else was in my field of vision but the brownness. But, okay, apart from unique, extraordinary types of situations, ordinarily we don't experience one sense data or datum at a time, do we? We experience combinations of sense data. And what we experience, the objects which are a combination of sense data, are never experienced directly and all at once. Isn't that right? If I have the experience of seeing a couple of coins on the floor, I'm not experiencing the entire coin. I'm only experiencing part of the coin. I don't see the part of the coin that's on the floor, or facing the floor, but only that part of the coin that's facing me. And so now, how are the sense data that I am experiencing related to the object itself, the coin? When I look at a couple of coins, let's say, across the floor over there, the sense data that I have is of something oval, not round. Isn't that right? You do not perceive roundness when it's at a distance like that and an angle. Now, do not fall back into, you cannot cheat here and say, oh, well, but when I walk up to the coin and look directly down at it, I know it's round, so I make the adjustment when I'm back here. The fact is, the sense data, or datum, that you have from this distance of the coin on the floor is not roundness. Moreover, if I were to drop a dime right here in front of me and put a quarter at the back of this long room, the sense datum of the dime would indicate that it is larger than the sense datum of the quarter. Now again, don't cheat. I realize that if you were to bring the two together and look right at them over the top, you could see the quarter is larger. But if all we encounter are sense datum, now there's a real question is how do the sense datum relate to these objects that are supposed to be outside my mind? Now what happens, according to Moore, is that people will start giving you very complicated analyses of what the object is. And they include all kinds of hypothetical, you know, introductory remarks. If you were to look at the coins from directly on top, with them moved next to one another, things like that, then you would have the following kind of sense data or data that you experience. Well, what are hypothetical sense data? You see, this is something of a rational reconstruction when you say, if you did this, then you'd have this kind of experience. And as Moore put it, he said, this is outrageously Pickwickian. Okay? It's totally unrealistic, departs from all ordinary experience and ways of being. The sense datum that I have is not hypothetical. If I were to do the following, I'd have the following kind of experience. And so, in the end, Moore had to hold to a position that said, I experience objects that are made up of sense data, but I can't really be sure what the object in itself is. He asked, how can I ever come to know that these sensibles, these sense data, have any source at all? And how can I know what the qualities of the source are? Because the coin has one sense datum at an angle and a distance and another from right over on top. So how do I know that the coin is the source of the sense data and just what the qualities of the coin are? Now, where are the sense data? Well, as you know, Moore had to hold that they are objective because they get us outside of the sensing or perceiving subject. Therefore, they must be somewhere in physical space, right? So let's ask, where is the sense data, or where is the sense datum of the moon located in space? Is it like so many miles between the moon and me? Well, that's silly. Is the sense datum just inside me? Well, you don't want to say that because then you lose realism. Well, then is the sense datum all the way out at the moon itself? I mean, once you say that the sense datum is part of the objective world, then you have to say, well, where is it in the objective world? But things get even worse. What happens when I have a false consciousness? When I sense something or have in my mind an idea that is imaginary? What if I have a delusion? Somebody gets drunk and sees pink rats running all over his bed. Now, we can say that the pink rats don't exist. He's only having a sense data of pink rats. But where is the sense data, then, if there are no pink rats actually on his bed running around? Well, physicists and philosophers can get together and come up with really strange combinations of hypothetical experiences and so forth, and use set theory to combine all of these and to say that what you are really experiencing is, and then you have this abstruse set of various hypothetical experiences and sense datum and so forth. But you have to remember that G.E. Moore was supposed to be defending common sense. Now, is it true that common sense says seeing the coins across the room is this combination of hypothetical experiences? Of course not. No one says that in common sense. And so now we are, in a sense, back to the same problem that Kant had. Granted, in a completely different form. But Kant said you have the world of appearance, phenomena. You have things as they are in themselves. G.E. Moore says there are things that exist apart from your consciousness. They are real in and of themselves. They are not mind-dependent. But then if you're going to give an adequate account of them, you have to give such an abstruse, complex, and hypothetical description. That's not what I experience. I don't experience hypothetical experiences. I experience the sense datum. So now I have things as they appear, the sense datum, and I have the scientific, philosophical analysis of what they really are. This hasn't helped us in the end after all. So shame on all of you who are so willing to jump in here and become realist. Realism has some real problems. Pardon the pun. If you ask a question about whether G.E. Moore's view of consciousness is like pre-Kantian and naive, that it's just simply passive, the answer is yes and no, in that he didn't believe the mind constructs its objects, it's not active, but he did believe that the mind had a quality about it which Franz Brentano had taught, a psychologist, and this is going to be, we're going to see this in phenomenology as well. Consciousness is other-directed. It's always intending an object. It's always of something. And since consciousness has that of-ness quality, it's always consciousness of something, it's not purely passive like Locke's tabula rasa waiting to be written upon by sensation. The mind is, if you will, out there looking for objects. It's always of objects. So it's not the Kantian active mind, but nor is it the pre-Kantian passive mind either. It's the new idea of an intentional mind, a mind that intends objects, that is always, if you will, directed toward something. Consciousness of something.